for comfort for the family. Didn't she get over COVID and all that and was victorious over that? But she is elderly, right?
In maturing us in you, Father God. Thank you, Father, for Lord, for us walking in the joy of the Lord, Father. We thank you for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, Father, we receive from you tonight. Lord, we receive from you tonight, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We receive from those things that we need in our soul, Father God, that you know about, Father. We receive, Father God, without any shame, saying, Lord, I need everything that you have for me, Lord. I receive that, Father God, through salvation, through the benefits of the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. I receive that tonight. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you that we're growing stronger in you. Thank you, Father God, that you're making people more confident in their walk with you, Father God. I pray tonight, Lord, as we speak your word, that our confidence, Lord, a little bit would be more laid in the foundation of our hearts, of growing in our confidence and our strength and our ability through you. And so we thank you for that, God, that we would see past the flesh of our mind. Lord, the wisdom of man, that we would see past that and see what the Spirit of God is doing in our midst. Lord, you do it amongst a people, not just an individual. Lord, it's amongst your church. So we thank you for the dynamics and the power and the anointing, Father God, in the congregation. As King David said, I will declare your glory in the congregation, Father God. And this is a congregation, and we declare your glory, Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks every yoke, every bondage in Jesus' name. Father God, we receive of that. Father, we receive it. Lord, we can't work it out ourselves. Father, we can't make things happen on our own abilities and strengths and talents or whatever. Lord, we acknowledge we need your presence in our lives to break, to heal, to mend, to make whole, to reveal. And so we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Don't you love him tonight? Thank you, Father. All right, we can be seated. We're going to have a time of worship, and communion. Isn't communion powerful together? You know, I was just thinking about it the other day before I get going. You could be in a group of people, and you could be at the skillet. And you could just take your, whatever it is, you could take your Coca-Cola. You could take your water. You could take your milk. You could take a bite of a potato of your ham and say, Lord, we're together and we're remembering your death. We'll talk about it tonight, remembering your death and what it means. That's what it's about. It's not our little element cups. There's no power, no strength, no secret potion about it at all. Really, the power of communion is agreeing together. What salvation has provided for us, what his death has provided for us. Amen? So we're in John chapter 3 still, session 14. And I started out there in just a couple of verses in John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And it says, for everyone does evil that hates the light and does not come to the light so that his deeds would not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light. Interesting. So that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed by in God. And so I want to take a little time and talk about practice. Talk a little bit about practice. I think if we're not careful, we can read this and we can go right back into performance. We can go right back into an onus of, okay, I've got to roll my sleeves up and start practicing. You think of pitching a pitcher for baseball that's good. They practice and practice and practice and practice. And I know some of that, what we're going to talk about, what it means in the Greek for practice. We think about an attorney that practices the law. We think about a doctor that practices medicine. There means, you know, being an expert in that arena, in that area. Expert. And so practice in the Greek. So we're going to talk about practicing in the light, in righteousness, and practicing in the works of the flesh. And what that means and doesn't mean. So practice in that Greek means to perform repeatedly or habitually.
to abide, to agree. Now listen to these, what practice means. What God is saying, so but the one who practices, who is abiding, who agrees, band together, content, to have, to hold, journeying, I can't say it. You're on a journey. Lighten the ship. These are some of the meanings of it. Lighten the ship and purged. Do you think of practice that comes to the light? You know, we one thing about coming into the light or the gospel is we agree with the gospel. Amen? Part of practicing truth and coming to the light first is I agree that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the way to come to the light. There's many ways that say this is the light. There's many religions that say follow us. We've got the formula for you to walk in the light. Amen? But as we'll see, it's all by faith and trust. It's crazy to the mind. We say it over and over. We have to tell ourselves this over and over and over and over again. Daily, week by week, every few days, that for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a free gift. Practicing, one thing to understand is I agree with what the assessment of the gospel says. I agree that this gift is free. I agree with that. I'm holding on to that. And anything else that might tell me contrary, I'm purging my life from that. The lies of the enemy. I purge myself from those things that think I can do it on my own strength, my own ability. Boy, some of you have a lot of ability, I understand, but it still won't produce righteousness. It still won't produce a walk that God says, I'm pleased with that. It's amazing to me that a walk other than an agreement of how you come into the light is not God's plan. Matter of fact, God says it's right. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Wow. Practicing, you and I continually coming into the light. Lord, I'm coming to you again. I'm coming to you again with my weakness. I'm coming to you again with my thought life. I'm coming to you again with my dream. I'm coming to you again with whatever purpose you may have for me. I'm coming to you again saying, Lord, I agree with you that it's only going to come about by the Spirit of God's working and maturing in my life. Practicing keeping in the light. Practicing agreeing with the Word of God. Practicing like the thief on the cross says, you're him. Remember me when you come into, not heaven, I keep forgetting the word. Paradise. It's practicing coming back to how many times? Over and over and over and over again, right? But during the day, waking up saying, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, today I am going to walk in your light of salvation. People can also practice sin. Can they practice sin? Galatians 5, 19 through 22. I'm glad nobody here's ever practiced any type of sin. Now, the deeds of the flesh, it says, the deeds of the flesh are evident. And you can see them. You can perceive them. You know the reaping, the percussions of it. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities. Pretty interesting, diverse list, by the way. Strife. Boy, strife is a work of the flesh. You ever met somebody just contrary? If something's blue, they're going to say it's red. If you mention something about the truth of God, they're going to say, no, it's something else, or I've got a better idea what it means. It's an attitude and heart and a practice of strife. Jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition. You know the me, myself, and I, right? Dissensions. And along that same thing of the hostilities, dissensions, factions.
factions and a splitting apart, a pulling away, bringing confusion, looking to, that kind of goes along with selfish ambition, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I've heard different people say, hey, what does that mean, not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, I know we have inheritance coming, right? I have a deposit of the inheritance. So you can have some scholars that talk about you're not going to live a life well here, but you'll go to heaven. I don't know, but I know that I don't want to experience it. I know that I'm not experiencing. How about you? I may have some struggles. And actually, I may have some things that I may feel like I'm abiding in right now, a struggle. You know that if you have a struggle or in some kind of addiction or whatever it is, you're not one of those who practice sin that is, what is what I'm talking about, that is separated from him. See, because you realize, hey, Lord, I can't get free from, hope you do. We'll talk about that too. I can't get free from this on my own. You know, I remember as an example, there's some years ago I became discouraged about something in my life that was pretty, in my family, that was pretty devastating. And I got upset at God. And when I did that, I started going back and practicing some things that God had brought me. Out of rebellion, it's like, why did you allow this to happen? Why did this happen? And so I started practicing some things that I had done, that I thought like. Careless attitude in some areas. Went backwards in some areas of works of the flesh. I started practicing some things. But thank God I have the Spirit of God in me, because you know what happened? I started feeling dry. I started feeling miserable. I started feeling depression. A depression come on my life. And when that happened, I said, man, I can't stay here. And I can't stay mad at God. And I'm going to pray for that situation that got me so discouraged. Discouragement is a thing that will get you back into maybe going back into things, if you want to call it practicing sin. But even in that, when I turned around with the Holy Spirit in me being grieved about that, because I belong to him, I'm sealed with him, he didn't say, hey, you've lost your salvation. He didn't say that, hey, you're not going to inherit eternal life. He said, hey, you want to stay where you're at? It's not going to be much fun. It's going to be pretty miserable, because I live in you. And so what I did is I just turned around and repented and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And the amazing thing, even in that situation that brought an area of devastation in my life, God restored it. Even after me saying, I've had enough of this for a while. Even after going backwards, because of his Spirit in me, his love for me, the things that were going on in my life, I became so miserable. I could not stay here. I repented, and he restored my fellowship, and he restored that situation. I learned something there. Guess what I learned? I'll never do that again. I will never do that. Do I have my struggles? We all have our struggles. There are things I'm still trying to grow in? Yes. But I learned from that, Lord, I will never turn my back again. Did I still believe he was God? Yes. Did I know he was my salvation? Yes. But I had become discouraged and upset with him in an area of my life. Even though it felt like I was practicing some areas of the flesh, deeds of the flesh, I belong to him. If you belong to him, even these things, just realize that if you've got struggles in your life, practicing means that you embrace it, you're okay with it, you make excuses for it, and really you don't have eternal life in you. If you have immaturity, you can practice these things and remain in immaturity, but you belong to him. You belong to him. You'll never embrace it. You'll never feel comfortable in those things. A lot of people will stay in those areas of their life because of regret. Have we been there? Oh, yeah. It's part of the discouragement thing. The enemy to get us to turn, to just to turn around and go back from pressing into Him, pressing into His goodness, pressing into His faithfulness, pressing into His purpose for your life. Those who embrace, they don't only repeat habitually, but they abide in it, they agree with it, they band together with others that live that way, they're content in it, they hold to it, they're journeying that path. They don't lighten their ship. They heap on sins on themselves and they heap on sin on others. And they will never admit to needing to be purged of sin in their lives. Practicing sin. I say that because sometimes people can hear these things or read these things and say, that's me. No, that's not you. That's a whole different, talking about a whole different thing. Paul saying, hey, don't be embracing this. Don't be holding on to this. Don't let this be part of your life and say, I'm okay with it. Come out of it. My example there is God's always been faithful to me. How about you think of it? He's always been faithful. I've always loved Him. I've had my struggles, but I have always loved Him, and He has brought me through every struggle with His faithfulness unto growth. I know there'll be other struggles. It's part of life, amen. You remember Pastor Lee used to say, it's a good fight, but he said the key thing is, as it says, it's a good fight. We're in a good fight, amen? And only a good, the only good fight there is one that I win. If I didn't win, it wasn't a good fight at all. Because it's a good fight because we win. I want to read Philippians to kind of lay this out a little bit in Philippians 3. I love this, these scriptures. Philippians 3 through 16. I'm going to read him, then we'll come back. It says, understand as a believer, Christ has taken hold of you. Listen to that. He's taken hold of you. But you haven't taken hold of everything yet. Wow. Forget what lies behind. Reach for what lies ahead. It takes maturity to have this attitude. Thank you, Lord, for maturity. Let's keep what we have obtained. Let's keep what we have attained. Is that it? Is that all of it right there, John? Okay. Number one on that. Understand as a believer, Christ has taken a hold of you. Paul says that. He says, hey, it has taken a hold of me. Do you realize He's taken a hold of you? Jesus said, nobody can take you out of my hand. Amen? So He's taken a hold of you. So understand, first of all, is He has taken a hold of you. If you believe in Him as your Savior, that you've been born again, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, it says. But that second thing, it says, but you haven't taken hold of everything yet. It's a growth process. Even Paul says, I can't understand. This thing that has taken hold of me, I can't quite explain this grace that's taken a hold of me. I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand it. He says, I can wrap my head around the law. I can wrap my head around a list of do's and don'ts. But this thing of grace, walking in His light, walking in His forgiveness, no matter what's going on in my life, that I can trust in Him, that He's leading me. He says, I can't quite get a hold of that yet. I'm not there yet. But He says, look, know that He's got a hold of you. Realize you don't have it all together. We don't have it all together in every area of our life, do we? Number three, forget what lies behind, reach for what lies ahead. That's so important. That's that thing of regret. If there's anybody that could have lived in regret, it was Apostle Paul. He's even talked about it. I was a part of deaths. I threw people in prison. I was there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. He says, man, I am the least of the apostles and don't deserve to even be an apostle believer. But he says, but yet God called me before the foundation of the earth. His grace has been revealed in my life. And that's exactly the same phrase that you and I need to understand and believe. It's before the foundation. In spite of our past, He still calls us, loves us, pursues us, and is going to be with us for eternity. Isn't that amazing? Forget what lies behind. Reach for what lies ahead. You think about what lies ahead. You can't look in the rearview mirror. You can't look way, way, way out there. Sometimes it's just step by step. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
If we trust him day by day, walking in his light, trusting him, he will open the path before us. You know, with that lamp, you can't see very far ahead of you. But you can see that next step and that next step. And you see that next step, and you just keep growing with him. Keep growing with him. Number four, it takes maturity to have this attitude. Thank you, Lord, for maturity. Maturity is what will keep it. As he grows us into maturity, that's what allows us to walk in confidence. Because he says, Lord, I believe your word. I understand your word. I am now well established in your word. I believe it. I am not going backwards again. I'm not going to trust or believe what the enemy says about behind me. And I'm believing that you have my future. It takes maturity to have this attitude. Thank you, Lord, for maturity. Amen. I believe this is a mature group here. I do. You have to be pursuing maturity to be here on a Wednesday night. I'm telling you. You really do. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Something about a group of believers together, and something about the anointing of teaching laying into our hearts. I'm not saying it's because of me. I didn't set it up. If you believe the first church, they said they were dedicated to fellowship and the apostles' teaching as God continued to grow them, as they matured together as a community. Amen? You know, you can't be mature on your own. You just can't. God, that's why it's called a church. What it says in Hebrews, it says, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And even more so as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. Did you know there's something about us getting together on a Wednesday night that is powerful to the maturing of you as a saint? Do you believe that? I am telling you. It seems foolish. It does. It seems foolish, but it's so biblical. And it's a maturing not only for you, but for me as well. Wow. Another thing is that it's even part of tonight in Philippians 3:17. It says, brothers and sisters, join in the following of Paul, saying, my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Something about being around people, that are walking with the Lord, did you know it rubs off on us? It just something about your good qualities rubs off on me. And my good qualities rub off on you. And that's why I said in 1 Peter 4 to love each other deeply so that you'll forgive each other's faults. Because the other side of it is, we've talked about it much, as we focus just on those faults. Those things that can cause us to be offended, and then we're not nurturing one another anymore. You know, it says we're a body with ligaments. You and I are explained as a body, joined together, living stones as ligaments, holding each other together. And it says, and each one of those stones plays its part. Isn't that amazing? So I'm part of the body, just like you, but if God sees the whole body, he sees a piece of us. He sees a body, but it's stone upon stone upon stone upon stone. A body, not being a part of a body, people are missing out. It's not easy always to be a part of a body, is it? No, it isn't. It really isn't. You have to forgive me, you know, all the time. No matter what, you have to forgive me, right? And vice versa. I'm not saying there's not times where we need to go to one another, but actually, that's actually part of maturing. If we're a family, is this a family? Not just family church because of the name, but because we are a family, part of the family of God, right? Part of maturing is loving one another, looking past those things, and having the maturity and the strength to go to people to make things right sometimes. Not always fun. It's not the glorious part of being part of the body, but it's the glue that keeps us together. It really is. The body. I like what 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34 says in the New Century Version. He's talking, he says, don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Come back to your right way of thinking. And he says, and stop sinning. Some of you do not know God. He says, I say this to your shame. What he's talking about there is who you hang around with, which I talk about, is going to have a big impact on what direction your life goes. We'll tell our teenagers that and young people that, but, you know, we need to realize that too. We need to realize that if we're going to go into business with somebody. If we're going to be yoked with somebody in any way, we need to know that if we're going to be married to somebody. Amen? A bad hombre you don't want to be with, right, ladies? Not good. So don't be fooled. So part of that thing, if walking in the light, right, we're talking about walking in his light, practicing his light, is walking with others who walk in that light. They have a wonderful effect on us. I can tell you something. The only experiences I have are mine, but you have some that are similar. I didn't, you know, in my family, we love each other, but we struggle with being respectful to them. And am I the only one? And so, but, you know, I have a dear grandmother passed away. I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. But on the same side, she was a very difficult lady. You know, just that World War II generation, and I'm in charge. You know what I'm saying? But I saw how Pastor Lee treated his parents. So things that he would talk about, respect your elders, respect, you know, the stuff that you hear in the Word, it registered here, but it didn't register here. And when I would see how he would treat his mom or dad during difficult situations, I thought, man, that's how you're supposed to do it. That's how you're supposed to honor your parents. Honor your parents in the Lord. You'll have long life. You hear all this. But if it hasn't been demonstrated in front of you, you haven't seen it, it can be just words. But when I saw it, it changed me. It changed me for the good, for the very good. That's part of being around good character, being around good hombres. Amen? Those being around good hombres can be an addition to other people. You look at the people that there can be people that you can be around that can rub off on you in a good way. Or sometimes you can see bad things and say, I don't want to be that way. Right? But part of that maturing, part of walking in the light, it's not just us being together, which is true, or just reading the Bible, that's good, it's true, but putting that all together is part of being part of a body. The power of being part of a body, amen? The world will never understand yours and mine desire to practice righteousness. It just won't. It'll always try to put us down or to make fun of us or make us look like bigots or whatever we're dealing with in today's world. 1 Peter 4:3-5, you know this one. You know this scripture maybe. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course. So pursued meaning practice, right? Having practiced a course of indecent behavior, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and wanton idolatries. And all of these, they are surprised that you do not turn with them in the same excess of debauchery, and they slander you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. People have to give an account someday. So glad I understand his grace. So glad that people that are associated with me, family, are knowing his grace, coming to his grace, will know his grace. Amen? The practice in righteousness. You have, so we receive, So let me just say this. You have to receive his righteousness. I know we all know this, but we got to remind each other. Romans 5:17-18 says, for if by the offense of the one, who's the one? Adam. Death reigned through the one, Adam. Much more will those who receive, how about you? I want to receive the abundance of grace
and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, as through one offense the result was condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, is that Jesus? Death, burial, and resurrection? The result was justification of life to all mankind who receive it. So we practice righteousness. We got to understand this righteousness that we practice is not anything we can do in our flesh. How do I know? Because it says in Galatians 5, 22 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, Christ crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We're going to talk about that. May not get to it this week. Galatians 2, 19 and 21. I read a couple more scriptures. You know, you read that and you say, okay, I've got to crucify that flesh. I got to do it. I've tried hard before. But what Galatians 2:19 says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? Do you believe you've been crucified with Christ? Tomorrow when you have a bad thought or you have a bad attitude or you say a bad word, you still have to believe that I am crucified with Christ. And it says, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, how? By the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But some people don't, the next verse is powerful. I do not nullify the grace of God. Listen, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. You want to nullify the grace of God in your life? Then start trying to do it on your own. That's how you nullify it. You can't do it. If our righteousness is as filthy rags, then there's nothing we can do to earn that righteousness. See, we're crucified. We're dead with him. We've been buried with him. So we don't come to God with all our Bible reading, memorization, church service, or anything for our righteousness. It doesn't happen. That's a result of the righteousness you have, but it has nothing to do with pleasing God. There's only one thing that pleases God. It says the just shall live by faith. So obtain righteousness. No, we can't obtain it. Let me just say this. Obtain means an effort expended in order to have gained possession of something. Let me say that again. To obtain something means an effort expended in order to have gained possession of something. Much like acquire. But to receive, on the other hand, simply means something has arrived or has been taken into in the subject's possession. We're not obtaining anything. We've received it already. We've received his righteousness. Have you received that gift of righteousness? Or do you have to remind yourself that his righteousness is received by simply receiving it by faith? I have more that I'm not going to say. We're going to get into more about works of the flesh. But Romans 8 talks about it a little bit. I say that going all the way to where we begun, practice. What does practice mean to you? Practicing righteousness. Let me encourage you to say, Lord, I'm in your light. I love you. Lord, I am dead to sin. But this is one of the mysteries of the gospel. It takes a lifetime to learn. How am I dead to sin when I'm still struggling? We're going to talk about that next week. How can I say I am dead to sin, crucified with Christ, when I feel like my flesh is out of control? We're going to have communion and some worship. Let me just say this, stopping there, just practice this. Lord, I'm coming to your light. I'm relying on your righteousness. Lord, I am dependent on your righteousness in my life to be everything I'm going to be. To the mind, it can mean what? But I'm telling you, there's nothing in your life that you or I can do to earn righteousness. And there's nothing you and I can do to maintain it. It's going to be trusting him, faith in him, We're going to talk about next week, what's it mean to walk in the Spirit? These are all things in the Bible. It's all things we've talked about, but just being reminded by His Word, Lord. Because what happens in this world, what happens with the enemy and just being in this world is we can tend to do this. Lord, I'm trying my best. I don't have any, we can lose our confidence. Lord, I'm not making the cut. Lord, my thought life. Lord, the things that I'm struggling with. And the next thing you know, we can get on a performance wheel. Start doing a maintenance thing. Instead of simply saying, Lord, I come into your light. Lord, with these areas I'm struggling with, I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I thank you for healing my heart. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching me how to be dead to sin. Romans 6, what shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live in it? Lord, I thank you that you and I, believe it or not, believing with faith, even in the middle of our struggle, that we are dead to sin. Do you believe that? I wish I had more time to explain, but I don't. Because we're going to take communion and we're going to worship. Amen. That's the thing about, Mike, we have those already handed out. Can I grab one? Does everybody have an element yet? You want to play in the background? You can.